Hey there, it's Vasi from Hypergrowth, and I'm here today with Dimitri from Just Reach Out, who's gonna tell us a bit more about PR outreach, specifically with a focus on the SEO benefits out of this and what we can get out of it in terms of SEO value. Hi, Dimitri.
Hey, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Nice to talk to be here to just chat about SEO, PR, and all the things very dear to my heart, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. So I have a sense that you built Just to Reach Out to, so to say, scratch your own itch, am I right?
Kind of, this happened, right? You're seeing the screen if you're watching this. I did PR for the startup called Polar, and there was like these little polls here, right? And I couldn't for the life of me figure out what to do with this because it was just a little app. And then I started looking at these different, basically tech meme every day. And every day on Tech Meme, I would check out kind of like what people are writing about. So I would create these polls and I would say, "Hey, Chris, I made a poll for you on the best Foursquare logo. Can you include it in your article?" And to my surprise, I got people to respond to me from everywhere, like MTV, like, I don't know, NPR, like TechCrunch, like Wall Street Journal. And this is what I did for 2 years. I would read the top headlines. I'd look at everybody who's covered it. I'd guess their email, and I'd create these little polls saying, "Hey, which one is better, this logo or that logo? Or which iOS system would you use? iOS 6 or 7? Or would you do this, or would you want this game or that game?" In terms of like game consoles, I remember it was Nintendo versus Xbox, and it was like a really hot one that we had. So anyway, this is like a little case study of how I do it, but this is the result. These people would put these polls right inside the actual article, and we'd get tons of views on these polls. And the company grew really fast. In 2014, it was acquired by Google. It was a 160 something acquisition for Google. And we've done a lot of these polls over those 2 years, and I built a lot of relationships with these journalists. And so I said, "Well, if I could do it, I've never done PR before, really. I mean, I was doing content and PR before, but it was on a consulting basis in a very much unpracticed way. If I could drum up all this publicity for this one company, people got to be able to do it." And so then I ended up creating like this course called PR That Converts. And then that took off. And then I ended up creating Just Reach Out after the course as a tool to not only give you the videos on how to do PR, but actually learn how to do it and do it inside the tool. So I built the tool. I have a computer science background, so I built the tool to kind of make sure people actually have the tools to just jump in there and sort of do the outreach and learn at the same time. So we got an academy in there and all that stuff. But yeah, that's my story in the tiny, just the gist of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's if we ever need to talk about a case study that shows the benefit you can get out of outreach, I think that surely proves the point. So, as I just mentioned the value of outreach, and I wanted to just slide here a bit this element of like why do we use outreach in general? Like, because most people would, I would assume, think about PR in terms of brand building, in terms of maybe doing some thought leadership for your leadership team within the company, or just making sure that your startup gets enough coverage to attract investors and so on. But you're talking about a sort of a different direction of that. So using actually that for a different reason. Can you talk more a bit about
Yeah.
that?
So I did this talk, and I'll link it up. But I call this the Lights Over Broadway PR, And the idea is like, I can maybe bring it up just the some of the slides in here, but the idea is like, whoever's listening to this, you're thinking, oh God, they're talking about PR. That means like I get into TV, radio, maybe I'll get on CheckCrunch, maybe I'll get somewhere like Forbes, right? People think Forbes, I should be in Forbes. And you know, it probably is not going to help you in the long term. Like, let's say for the best sake, like for the best thing that could happen to you tomorrow is like, somehow you meet somebody who's like, I'm gonna write about you. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. I don't even have a product, but okay, they write about you. They have all these people that sign up to buy your thing. That's the best case scenario. But what happens 3 months from now or 6 months from now? You can't just keep repeating these one-off like spikes, right, in traffic. And so I realized that early on is that it needs to be consistent. How do you become consistent with PR? It's impossible, almost impossible to continuously have news that you can always PR around, like get yourself into the news, right? It's expensive to create studies and data consistently. And so what I typically do is marry SEO and PR at the same time. And that's important to understand. It's a lot to kind of grasp as a person is thinking about PR, but it's important to think like, okay, can I put up a piece of content that ranks? And here, I'll show you some stuff live, just so you have some context to this. Cause if you're looking at a talking head here of some random bald guy who's talking about PR and SEO, you're like, I'm kind of lost. And truthfully, none of us really want to look at a bunch of slides. So, well, look at this, disadvantages of Instagram business account. If you Google this term, I rank number one for this term, right? This is my blog. Now, when somebody clicks on it, they arrive on my blog, that they read this blog post, and then eventually they'll sign up to get newsletters. And then later on, I'll sell them my software, right? Something like this will never go away. Like, it's not a TechCrunch article that's going up and down. This is me number one for the word disadvantages of an Instagram account, right? DM for business, similar thing, right? And so you can get craftier, right? Like PR, outreach, things like that. But we're talking SEO. And so it becomes a little tougher to figure out which keywords you should work. How do you even get here? How do you write the article? How do you rank? But the general approach to this is you figure out what keywords to write, you write an article, and then you get links to it. You get people to link to it, right? Mm-hmm. You don't pay people to link to it. You don't hire an agency to do it. You actually go and create content that is an extension of your piece. So in my case, disadvantages of Instagram business account, there are a bunch of disadvantages, right? And so when I'm interviewed somewhere, I mention specific disadvantages. I'm not gonna go into detail into those disadvantages, but I will link up this specific disadvantage. That's an example of it. Mm-hmm. And I would say in an interview, well, actually, you know, disadvantage one is there's, you know, less visibility or whatever. And so I'd say, okay, there's less visibility. I'll mention it a little bit. And then whoever is talking to me say, okay, well, I'll link that up in terms of an example. And so that's how you want to think about PR. And I encourage anybody who's thinking about doing PR is to really think about the long-term ROI on this thing, right? Hiring in a PR firm, $10,000 a month, let's do this for 3 months. Let's get 4 or 5 articles. Let's get 10 articles, right? But what do you get at the end of 3 months? You get 10 logos. What do you do with those 10 logos? You can put them on your homepage, but at the end of the day, it's not gonna continuously bring you customers in the door. This kind of PR will continuously bring you customers. People will Google a PR release email or whatever it is, and you will continuously show up number one. And you basically build yourself basically a funnel of leads that come in. But you have to improve your articles. You have to continuously, you can see that, for example, this one, I used to be number one for company boilerplate. Now my site, criminallyprolific.com, is number two because somebody else has published something better than I created. They created more links to it, and now they're number two. So I have some work to do. PR outreach, I used to be number one. One of our competitors published something. They got more links to it. So I have some work to do to really, you know, put myself back on there. And if I don't, then, you know, I'll continuously keep sliding down because there's competition coming in, right? So these are like little products that kind of that you create, and you continuously work on it. But it's good. It's a good fight to fight because you're essentially pleasing your readers better than someone else. And so these are things that you have to work on, right? And some are much harder and some are much easier. You can see, you know, I rank for how to write a press release. You get 371 clicks in 7 days, and there's more impressions. And so you have to study this stuff, and it seems a little overwhelming probably as you're listening to this and you're viewing this. You're like, Dimitri, this is insane. Like, I'm not gonna write a blog post that's gonna rank for some keywords. This is too much work. And it really is not, right? I break it down in my kind of talk here. I do a lot of these talks, but there's a step-by-step right here that I kind of show you. And I did a masterclass on Mixergy as well. But I show you exactly sort of how to do this step-by-step and how we did this with Pipedrive. So yeah, I'd encourage people to do this. Sales management is a term that gets a ton of searches, a ton. And Pipedrive, is number one here. It's got 74,000 searches a month. And this is Pipedrive's blog post. I mean, yeah, we outrank HubSpot and Wikipedia for this word. And you can see that Salesforce and HBR and Inc. are all the way on the bottom. Pipedrive has like everything. And now with Google, I mean, they have the snippet. And you could see how valuable that is. The search volume has gone down a little bit, but it's still 84,000 a month. This is 74,000. So yeah, it's quite a nice little, just a nice little term. Even how to write a press release, I think the search volume is 12,000 on this, and it has gone down because press releases are kind of extinct these days, but still, it's decent volume that I get on this. So you need to do some research figure out what those keywords are and what you can rank for. PR outreach, like, you know, I rank number two now, used to be number one. This is 320, really small compared to some of those other bigger numbers, but it might be much more relevant, right? To people that need PR outreach for my app. So you kind of do a lot of this thinking, but yeah, that's the kind of PR I like to do, is trying to do guest posts, blogs, and podcasts to link to my pieces of content and then get them to rank higher. It's exciting, it's fun.
Yeah, I would assume so. So, and this is actually a much more consistent way of going about it than just going after the next spike, as you said. So what's the process behind this? Can you take me through, just quickly through the step-by-step of this?
Yeah, sure. So your first thing would be to figure out which keyword you want to rank for. And for that, there's a couple things that you want to do, but you know, for your purposes, let's just say that you want to rank for growth hacking, right? Now, in terms of growth hacking tips or something like that, that's a term that you want to rank for. So you randomly you think of, all right, I'm a growth hacking expert. I want to help my customers or growth hacking people that need tips or something. So you type that in, you immediately see, you know, the search volume 140, it says in here, right? So you're like, okay, that's a lower volume. That immediately tells you it's a little bit less competition probably, because people are competing more on higher volumes. Now, the first thing you're looking at is the domain rating, and I'm using something called Ahrefs. People out there, and again, this is a tool, you just download it, you install it, and it tells you domain ratings of each website. Domain ratings are between 0 and 100. You can use Moz as well. If you've never heard of domain ratings, don't worry, it's very simple. It's between 0 and 100, right? So you're looking at this number, right? And you're comparing yourself to that number. Now, hypergrowth, you guys are just starting out, you're number 8, right? You know, my blog is 60 or something like that, 59. Some of my others are 60. So what you're trying to do, it's not like a grade or anything. It's just like where you are in the process, like where you're at, right? And so you want to compete with something that's similar. So right away, I see the domain rating 89, 91, 82, 87, 87, 999. So it's very hard for the domain rating number 8 for you guys to rank among these huge, big, you know, websites. So two options. One, you guessed right for Crazy Egg, you guessed right for Neil Patel, you guessed right for Wishpond, and you rank on their site with your guest post, right? Because that might be a little faster because they already have a domain rating. Yeah. Or you write, you find another keyword. A lot of people, you know, they want to find better keywords. And lower keywords, go down to suggestions. So right here on the right, this is a tool I'm using called Keywords Everywhere. It's a plugin. And so what I do is I look at the suggested, versions here, and I just look at lower volumes. And so that one was 10. This is 47. So it's a little bit more promising. And so this exercise, I mean, I would continuously do this, and I would start ranking for keywords that are 0 to 10. Now these volumes, you can see, this is 31. This is getting much closer to 8. This is 24, right? So that's one thing, right? So 31, 24, that's decent enough for you to be somewhat in the same realm. You might go a little bit down. You might want to see a 10, maybe a 5. But you do this until you sort of see something similar in the domain, right? And that once you see 30s, 20s, I would maybe take a look at that. Now, the next thing you're looking for is the relevance gap. So what is a relevance gap? That's you as an expert who identifies something that is not present in these articles. Maybe they're dated, they're old. Let's take a look to April 2019. February 2017, April 2020, 2019. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. Maybe the examples are not the best examples. Maybe you have much better examples, much more detailed examples. Whatever it is, you gotta get deeper into the content. So what you're gonna be writing about is little weaknesses on each one. Don't get too worried about all these details you're listening to. It's not that tough. You're just finding quick little domain ratings, right? On these posts, you're trying to see somewhere between these ratings, your domain, right? So if you're 10, maybe you're 8, let's say you're 10, right? You guys are 10. You want to find something that's 20, maybe 15, right? If you do that, boom, you have your keyword. If you don't, then keep clicking on these people also search for versions, or come up with a better version yourself, right? Something very specific, usually growth hack marketing examples for crypto or something like that. And you might immediately change sort of the search results here. You can see right here, domain rating 0. So now you found something. Do not worry that the volume is 0. Don't worry about that, because eventually the volume will pick up probably for this, if you think it will, you know. You don't worry about it too much. You want to start ranking for something, right? That will always boost your domain rating, and then it'll make it easier for you to rank later on. So domain rating is number one. And then the next thing is quick little jot down, maybe one or two little lines next to each one. Like, what sucks about this? Let's take a look. This is 2018, it's old, but let's look at this example from September 21, 2020. It's ranking number 4. 7 growth hacks Binance used to become the number one cryptocurrency exchange, by Francesco Gelati from growthhollyclub.com. And so this is authority 0. This is must be just a brand new site. User referrals earn crypto together, decentralized operations. Okay, so it's very specific on Binance, right? We searched for crypto in general. This is a Binance example. 7 growth hacks Binance used to become number one crypto exchange, cryptocurrency exchange. So the intent of the search was growth hack marketing examples for crypto. This is definitely one example, but it's not a guide. It's not like a whole bunch of them, right? This is 7 of them. This is more up to what we think might be what people are looking for. Growth hacking 101 for blockchain and cryptocurrency. Again, a much more thorough article, I'm presuming. I'm not looking through it. So these are the things that you need to really look at. Mashable 2017, growth hackers is like an AMA with somebody, right? Yeah. So the result has some holes in it, right? If I need growth hacking examples for crypto, I'm kind of left with some old content. I'm left with some AMAs. I'm left with some old articles from Mashable. I have some things that might be cool from like Medium, but Forbes, but they're a little old. So this is where you come in. You say, all right, well, I'm Vasilina. You know, we've done, you know, work for a lot of crypto clients. I have these 5 things to share that they should be doing. I'm going to go write this post, right? And so based on this weakness, you go in and you write it. You write it, you publish it. And then the next part would be getting some links to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so then after you have your piece of content, like for example, DM for Business is one that I'm working on now. I'm number 2 already, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have this piece written. I love it. You know, it has to be like the Bible for you. You're like, oh, this is amazing. I love this piece. You know, it has to look fresh. You should be proud of it. It's like a product that you're putting out to the world, right? And then you basically look through this. And then one of the ways that I do it is I usually link up other articles that people, you know, examples, things like that. And then I would reach out to those people saying, hey, Sprout Social, I linked you guys up. I'd love you to share it on social. And that helps, right? Maybe I strike up a conversation with them and maybe I guest write for them later on, but it's not going to be, you know, socially sorted is another one I linked up. So I usually link things up and that's my starting point. I link other people in the actual article and I start conversations with them saying, hey, I promoted you. I'd love to chat with you about it, right? That's the first sort of your PR activity around the article. This would be it. The next thing I would look for is actual sort of opportunities around marketing, right? So I usually like to look at what journalists are looking for in terms of marketing. And I put in content marketing into my own tool just to see, and I can see right away, how do you measure your content marketing results? So you can see Marin from Kajabi blog, please answer, how do you measure content marketing business impact? What 3 tools are critical? How should you get started? Great, I can answer this. I've done this so many times. Now, is it gonna be worth my time? Well, am I gonna get a good link from it? Are they gonna promote me? Is this gonna help out this blog? So I'm gonna have to put in Kajabi blog. I'm gonna go to the blog. This will fire up the tool and it'll tell me that their domain rating is 84. Fantastic, right? I'm 30 something, they're 84. I'd get a blog from an 84, I'd link for them. Now, would I be able to get a link from them, right? Do they link 6 ways to integrate your email social media marketing strategy? Do they actually link to people? It seems to be that they link to themselves here. They link to Campaign Monitor and I can, Campaign Monitor. So then do they link and do they do a do follow link? So when they link, when people link, a lot of times they link with a no follow. This is, I'm just launching inspect. All I did is I right click on this thing and I launched inspect, right? And I'm just looking to see if this link is do follow or don't follow. This looks to be a do follow link. So it means they don't do not, and that's good. So you don't want to see do not follow. If it says do not follow, it doesn't really help you as much. It does help you a little bit. It's not going to help you as much. So they do the link, they add things link. All right, great. So now you're like thinking, okay, well, it's probably worth answering Marin here from Kajabi. And I'm using just reach out because this is the tool I built. You can sign up on helperreporter.net for free to do this. But you know, Kajabi blog, I find it, I can answer it. Now, if I answer this, what three tools are critical for measuring this? What should get started measuring content marketing results? Can I actually link to this? Is there a intersection between the answer to that question and something that I talk about? So I need to really dig into my content and see in my DM examples, if I talk about measuring the impact of this approach. And if there is not, chances are I probably should not try and squeeze that in there. If it is, if there are, that's where you probably would reference this. And that will decide whether you're gonna be engaging in these things or not in terms of PR, you're gonna be answering. You might say, you know, I kind of need something around Instagram because this is too broad. And so you're gonna put in Instagram. And then I'm gonna setting up Instagram store, December 16th. Okay, so this is for Billiards Digest, looking for advice for billiards, retailers on how to set up Instagram store. And you know, this might be much more relevant because I talk about DM for Instagram. That's one of the main reasons you do that. So you're like, okay, maybe I should do that. You go through exactly the same thing that we did with Kajabi blog. If their domain rating is a little higher than yours and they do follow links, fantastic. And you can actually link up that example in there. That's one way to do it, using this, or you can sign up on Helper Reporter Out. You can sign up on ProfNet. There's lots of different newsletters out there. The other thing is just podcasts. Podcasts, there's so many of them. And so here you can, in my tool, it's easy to find specific podcasts around a topic or a keyword. I found it's very hard out there to do this, but you don't have to use this my tool. You can use some other way to find it. But you basically need to find podcast episodes around something. Instagram DM sales strategy. It all goes down in the DM. Great. Stevie says social. So this is a podcast. I can see a score of 51 between 0 and 100. Decent. That's a podcast score. Let's look at the site. Site is 38. I'm 31. Great, this is a little higher than me. It tells me, okay, this is, they're just starting out. She's got a beautiful design. You know, maybe it's worth it, right? Maybe it's worth it to pitch. So then for the podcast, I'm gonna say, all right, I'm gonna send her a pitch in the platform here. I love doing this stuff. So I you know, geek out on different pitches, but the idea is very simple. I listen to your podcast show, you tell her what the show, the actual episode was, identified some things that you can talk about, right? You put that stuff here, you can put it up above, but that's the idea. You're pitching yourself to be an expert on something. You're saying, hey, I wrote this big case study on DM for Business. We actually talked about these three things around using it and setting it up that you didn't discuss in your podcast. Are you at all interested in me coming on the show and sharing it? Here is the actual post. This is the post. And so, you know, you didn't touch upon the mistakes, or something like that in your blog or in your podcast episode. And so that's how I go about, you know, ranking and getting some. And so then you come on the show, you talk about that example, and what is there else to do? I mean, they have to link back to the original post, right? And so that's the type of PR I really get excited about. when somebody comes to me and they say, oh, we want to pitch some news around a launch, or, you know, we got funding, we want to pitch something, it's just not worth it, usually, in my case. I mean, we have clients that do this all the time and just reach out, but this is the type of stuff that I love doing, and I love, just, it's fun, you know, like you get these jumps. It takes a little while, but it actually works out really well at the end. But it, you know, it might take you months to get to a ranking, but you accumulate some podcasts along the way, you accumulate some mentions along the way, and there's just, you know, there's always people out there that will like to hear something from you. You just need to kind of find the right people, and you want to promote yourself in the right way. You never want to just get a link to a homepage. I mean, a link to a homepage is better than nothing, but you want to have a little bit of a strategy. You're like, okay, I want to rank for growth hacking examples for crypto, because when I rank for that, people who search for that are going to be my clients, right? And so to do that, I need to write an article, I need to get some of the links going to it, and I need to get some people to promote it on social. So that's basically it, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's great in terms of example. And I think the one thing that is probably going to blow the mind of a lot of marketers who are trying to do outreach is that you go about it in a completely different way, in the sense of that you start off with content, and that's what you want to link for, not your product or your homepage, as you said, or anything like that, because you know that if you give additional value to those people, like, they're much more likely to pay attention to you than if you link simply to a homepage or to a landing page or something like that.
Yeah, content always helps, because you can edit the content, you can add stuff in here, like examples, data, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can ask people to link to it, saying, hey, I mentioned you, I linked to you, can you link to it back? Or you just give people shout outs in your content. People are happy, they're excited, they back you. It's never like a dull moment or an awkward conversation where, like, hey, I linked you up, I quoted you, what do you think of it? You know, it's always a good conversation starter. Even if they don't share, you know, it's a good conversation starter. And I use LinkedIn a lot to do this. Like, hey, I'll find like the CMO of Sales Intel or whoever I link up. And then I'm like, hey, you know, I linked you up. Did you see this? What do you think of it? Did I do a good job? That kind of thing, you know?
I'm just curious, because you mentioned LinkedIn and outreach, and we've been talking about outreach. I'm curious to hear your opinion on, can you actually outsource this to a VA or to like a junior marketer, or do you always like work on it on your own? Or maybe there's a blended approach that I'm not seeing.
I mean, the point you want to outsource this to a VA is where you have the system dialed down so much that you actually like have a system that works really well consistently, and you're getting results out of it, and it's just a manual task. And even then, I outsource like getting the email addresses or lists together and executing the sends, or things like that. I don't usually try and outsource too much from it, because I want the relationships myself. I don't want some other third party doing it on my behalf. And what happens is quantity over quality, just like in Just Reach Out, when people do outreach, we all think quality. We're like, okay, we nod our head when we think, all right, we gotta do quality. But then when it comes time to promote anything, whether it's a piece of content or your own app or product, we're like, okay, I got to reach as many people as I can, because not everybody's going to respond. And it's just really tough mentality to change from among people. They're like, I got to reach more people, right? I want to be on homepage of New York Times. And I kind of get that, you know, maybe I should be on Neil Patel's blog only, or maybe I should only get on like the growth hackers community, because that's where my clientele is. but I kind of want to be on New York Times, whatever. I'm just going to pitch a bunch of press, or I'm going to pitch a bunch of blogs that are not relevant to me. And so same deal goes here. It's like you're doing outreach to pitch yourself as an expert on a podcast, or somebody linked to you. You don't want to do it on a lot, like a big scale or tons of at once, right? Especially if you're somewhat new to this, you're listening to this, like, or even if you've done some of it before. And so the moments that I, the parts that I outsource are the parts that are like just grunt work. Like, for example, I need a list of, you know, maybe go through this entire post of 7,000 words, look at all my links, find all the URLs that are brands and not like Twitter, you know, Twitter will never link to me or whatever, like just brands that are between domain rating 80 and 50, right? Mm-hmm. And then make a list, find the CMOs who, and give me a list of their URLs and LinkedIn, and maybe find their email addresses. That's a perfect task to outsource. But outsourcing, like, you know, actual outreach is a little risky. I would say dial it down yourself. If you have a really smooth flow to it, yeah, do that, you know.
that's what I was hoping to hear. And I actually, based on the talk we had pre-recording, I would have assumed that you would reply in this sense, because I've seen a lot of people who just like outsource most of it to VAs, and I also think that that's not necessarily the best approach. So if you have time for like really quickly to answer this final question on me, what would be the metrics you follow through the process in order to know if your pitching strategy is working or not?
The actual pitching to get links?
Yeah.
So what I typically do, and we have this in the system here, but I look at, if I look at emails, you can see we have opens, clicks, and responses. And what we have a benchmark here is 51% of all our customers have opens, right? And so that means 50% of all the emails that are being, have been sent, millions and millions of emails I've opened. And so the first thing that I look at during an outreach is the subject line and the open rate. Your open rate needs to be 50% or higher, and your subject line is your gateway to that open rate. That's what drives it. So it's very simple. You send out emails, you send out messages on LinkedIn. You need some way to see if they're opened. On LinkedIn, it's a little tougher. Emails are a little easier. So I kind of do both. And I look at open rate. Your open rate should be around 50%. If it's not, start figuring out your best subject lines, your worst subject lines, and going through it and filtering your outreach to see which subject lines are doing the best in terms of open rate. Open rate is, your subject line is the only thing they see. And they see your name, they see a subject line, and they open or not. And so it's a good way to test. And I do it in email, and I replicate what works in email in LinkedIn. I don't use Instagram or Twitter to do it. I've done it before, but I just like to use LinkedIn and email. And so that's the first thing. That, in terms of metrics, when you're doing outreach, for this kind of stuff or something, and even something else, like if you were pitching your app or launch or news or whatever, you do this. Once you got 50% open rate with your subject line, then you kind of need to look at clicks and responses. By the way, with the subject line, if your open rate is low, which it will be in the beginning, the other factor that impacts it is the target. Is the target really good one for you? A lot of people go crazy on the subject line. They kick four or five subject lines and they're awesome. They're solid subject lines. But the target that you're emailing is kind of a maybe, you know? So I always say, read the email out loud to yourself. Would you actually respond to it as that person? And so look at the person, look at what they've written about. What did they do before? you know, really dig deep, like here where we're starting to really look at this woman, right? What does she write about? Like, what? How does she put herself out there? Who is she? Is she gonna want to have me on this podcast? What kind of people did she have on the podcast before? Am I kind of like them or not? These are the things that kind of need to go through your head as you're pitching yourself, right? Because she might not be the best target. And so you need to just go back and say, all right, I kind of need somebody kind of like myself on there, right? If she hasn't had anybody like yourself on there, maybe you're not the right demographic for them. Maybe it'll be a maybe for her. And you don't want that, right? You want to send less emails and you want them to be, you know, open. So you want less emails, more quality, and you want the higher open rate. So here you're looking at subject line and you're looking at the quality of the email in terms of target fit, in terms of who you're emailing. The next part is really response and clicks in the email. And that's really where the actual pitch comes in when you're sending the pitch. How short is it? How succinct is it? Do you give it all the information you need? Do they give them all the information you need to respond really quick? You do not want to send an email that's more than 300 words. You do not want to send a cold email like that to anybody. That person has no invested interest in you. They haven't met you. They don't know who you are. And so when you're emailing them, you're asking them for time and effort, and it's very hard to go beyond 300 words and justify that, right? Unless it's something earth-shattering. And so you want to be short, you want to be succinct, and you want to impress them, right? Almost right away. And so following some of our kind of templates that we kind of pointed out here, you know, you want to be short. You want to even shorten this up. You know, maybe you don't go into your accomplishments. Maybe you just literally say, listen, I've been interviewed on a number of podcasts. Here's a few. I want to talk about these things because you didn't talk about these on your podcast. You want to be very, very short and succinct, but you want to monitor your response rate. If you're getting opens and you're not getting response rates, your pitch is failing, right? Mm-hmm. Target is good. Your pitch is failing. Your pitch is too long. It's too wordy. It's not interesting enough for a podcast show to have you on. It's not interesting enough for them to get you to a guest post. It's just not interesting to them. It's not a story they want to run. There's multiple reasons, but I would add a scheduled follow-up. You know, sometimes people just get busy. I wouldn't push too many on them.
How many do you think?
Like more than two is too many. I feel like if they're not going to respond on the first follow-up, if you really think that they're going to respond on the second, like maybe the second one is a maybe, but don't go out third, fourth, fifth. Like in the days of like salespeople trying to ping you for five follow-ups, like, hey, you said yes, you know, you're interested, you know, that was a month ago, are you still interested? Clearly, like you're not priority one for them. And even if you end up being priority later on, they've kind of moved on mentally from this. It's not at the top of their tabs here. So don't keep pushing these people. You know, it's going to be a much slower process for you anyways. So you just want to work with people that want to work with you. And if you can't find them, keep searching them, because there's got to be people out there that, you know, want to hear what you have to say. And so, yeah, more than two, I'd say probably not. Don't go more than two on these. So I'm looking at higher, more than 11% response rate. So I want to see your response rates be around 12% or so. If we're not there and you won't be there right away and you can't get to there, we got to redo our thinking around PR. We got to refocus and figure out what it is that you're pitching that someone else is not. And I want to leave you with this lesson, and I want you, if you manage to watch this video all the way to the end and you're still paying attention and not checking your email right now or your phone or something, I want to leave you with this quick exercise, because this is going to help you if you do PR in any time in the future. This is an exercise that I call brainstorm. It's called relevance gap analysis, and this works for any kind of PR. It doesn't have to involve any SEO. You don't have to write any blog posts. Just what do you want to pitch to somebody, right? And the idea is people write something, right? You found somebody who wrote something or a podcast interview about something, right? You've heard it, you've listened to it, you've read something. And this is what you want to pitch. And there needs to be a gap between what they put together and what you're pitching. And that gap is your conversation starter with them, right? So imagine you're at a restaurant or maybe you're at a conference, you walk up to them face to face, you're saying something out loud, you say, hey, I saw your article on honeymoons, right? And it was all about foodie honeymoons. You actually forgot wine in it. And we actually do wine and food honeymoon tours. Are you at all interested in hearing about wine? Because you forgot that. That's an awesome conversation starter, right? Very basic, but it actually identifies something that they're missing, and they might have another article on it, but in this specific article, it's just food, and you got wine. So you're telling them something that's related to it that would make their article better. This is a classic example, but it's an example from one of our customers, but I want to leave you with this because it translates into all industries and all topics. So as you're listening to this, you're like, okay, what types of things can I find out there where they just didn't include this thing that I know about, and maybe they should include it? And that thing usually should not be your product. It's because they should buy it. It should be something knowledge-based, right? Something advice, expertise, maybe data, maybe insights, something that is not like, hey, actually, you didn't include this product that does XYZ, you should put it into your article, right? It should be something that's like expertise, right? Thought leadership, something like that. And so I'd leave you with this because I want you just practice this stuff. It works. The more you do this, the higher your response rate will be, right?
Wow, that's an awesome way of structuring it. I've dabbled in outreach myself, and I think that if I have had this structured way of approaching it at the start, we would have seen results with previous clients and companies I've worked with much earlier on. So thanks a lot. This has been like super educational. We're gonna leave links to obviously to this and to everything you shared earlier on, so that people can kind of make sure that they got all the information out of this and all the value out of this. And we're definitely gonna link to Just Reach Out. If they wanna connect with you, like where would you take them?
They can go to, I have two blogs. I mean, justreachout.io is great. My main blog now is Small Biz Tools. So there's a contact on here called Small Biz Tools, and you can sign up for the newsletter. There's a contact us here. My personal site is Criminally Prolific. You can also contact me through Criminally Prolific. Both are easy to use, and they both have contact information on them. So Criminally Prolific, Small Biz Tools, or just reach out.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Dmitry. This has been great. Thanks for taking the time to do this with us, and I wish you all the best.
Awesome. Great to be here.